Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. I gotta tell you how much I love you. It is such a pleasure and such a joy to be part of this congregation. And I mean that from the depths of my heart, depth of my soul. I love you. And the reality is that really doesn't matter that much, does it? Christ loves you. And that's what matters. I can love you, you can love each other, but the real central issue is I'm loved by Christ. Wow! I'm loved by Christ. I have an opportunity today. I'm going to wrap up this foundation series. We've had a number of sermons delivered that we're really focusing in on what's the foundation of what we believe. So from January 3rd, the beginning of the year, until Valentine's Day, we've been focusing on, so what is it that's really foundational for us being Christians, coming to church, devoting our lives to Christ? And I got to tell you, this was an exercise. I if I had my hat on, I would tip it to Matt and to Cam. They did such a great job, didn't they, of digging into the scriptures. Matt started us off on January 3rd with a talk about God. And he just absolutely hit it out of the park. Cam followed up with Jesus Christ. And I did a piece on the Holy Spirit and demons and angels. And Cam brought this piece on heaven and hell that was just spectacular. And over the last 2 weeks, I've gone back and I've re-listened to each one of those discussions so that I could remember what it was that was being talked about, not just from my own notes, but to hear it again. How many people here realize that we record every one of the sermons here? We put them on our website and you can go back and listen to those anytime. Yeah, there's a few people without their hands up. How many people here know we put out an electronic newsletter every week? Yeah, not everybody got their hands up. You know what? If you want to receive our newsletter every week, you can go on the website and sign up for it. Probably the easiest thing is to send a note to Cam at Red Roof. Sorry, Cam. 30 more emails this week. And say, hey, I'd love to get the e-news. Lots of great information in there about what's going on. And I had a chance, because we do that, I had a chance to listen to these all over again. One of the things I've struggled with, and I'll talk about a couple of my struggles today. One of the things I struggled with after having come on staff here and done a couple of sermons was, why would anybody come here? When you can go on the internet and you can get the best preaching in the world at your disposal whenever you want it. And after having re-listened to these, I'll tell you why you come here. Because you're getting words from God that were specific for this church at this time. And I'll tell you, I didn't hear anything that wasn't some of the best teaching in the world. Cam and Matt, I know Matt's in the back, he may listen to this later. You guys blew my socks off. I was absolutely enthralled that I get to be on a team with you guys who can open up the scriptures, can dig way deep inside, be guided by the Holy Spirit and say, you know what? Here's what we believe, and share it in such an articulate manner. I will never forget Cam trying to explain the lights of Las Vegas with a flashlight to somebody who doesn't even know what electricity is. I will never, ever forget that image. It is burned into my mind as how difficult it sometimes is to understand the Word of God and the vastness of what eternity is. That's a great illustration. I don't know if you created that or came up with that or borrowed it. But these guys do such a great work, and so my hat's off to them. You know what else? I found an interesting theme came out of re-listening to those. We were very careful to pick subjects that we knew would be really foundational. I'm going to get this on one way or the other. There we go. And one of the themes I found that came out, and we worked very independently, was this concept that in all of the pieces that came together, Christ. Christ is the center. Christ is all that matters. And the choice. Those are the two themes. The choice. Christ is all that matters. and that we have been given freedom in love to either choose to follow him or not, and that's our choice. Two really critical issues that come out of the whole Foundation series. There is only one thing that matters, and that's Jesus Christ. And we have the complete freedom that God has given us through his love to either choose to follow Christ or not, and that's our choice. And he loves us either way. I'm going to walk you through all of these sermons real quick. Did anybody go to Globe Theater over the last couple of weeks? They've been putting on, a whole bunch of people. The Hound of the Baskervilles, great Sherlock Holmes mystery. Three guys played about 15 different parts. And after the first intermission, they came to the audience, well, just in case you forgot what happened in the first one. Actually, I think what they said was somebody texted them and said, well, there wasn't that much energy. And so they redid the first act in about 2 minutes. And it was this high-speed race of guys coming back and forth, and one guy would bring a prop into hand to the other guy so he could change character, because remember, three guys playing about 12 characters. And by the time they were done reviewing the first act, they were soaking wet. And we were laughing in the aisles and having a great time. Well, I'm not running back and forth. Nobody's bringing me props. But we're going to review 6 sermons in 20 minutes. So put your seatbelts on, get ready, and let's get at it. I'm not going to go too fast because I think it's important to listen and see what the points are. So here's the other issue as we get into this. This is my review. I listened to these again, and I'm bringing you what I think was important. I'd love to hear what you think is important. One of the things I learned, I listened to them sitting in the chairs, and I took notes while I was here. Then I listened to them on the tape, and I took, different notes. Holy Spirit spoke to me differently the second time I listened. So this might be the second time for you. Holy Spirit might bring something out for you. We've got, go ahead, make my day, or prayer cards or something in front of you. Why don't you grab a piece of paper if you don't have one? If you're not bringing your journal with you, I encourage you to bring a journal and a pen every time. Grab a piece of paper. Thank you. Grab a piece of paper, grab a pen, and while I'm talking, if I'm talking about the God sermon that Matt did, or if I'm talking about the Holy Spirit sermon, and I've got a couple of notes here, and you think, hey, but I remember something else that I think was really important, scribble that down. Scribble that down. I may give you an opportunity to add to the sermon today. I might not. Well, it depends how far along we get. But that'll be important for you. Forces us to think when we've got pen and paper in hand. I really encourage you, grab a journal, bring it with you, take some notes. All right? So let's talk about this. I'm going to come back to this circle afterwards. We're going to end with that. So God the Father, we started the year off. Matt did this great job of trying to grab this great big subject of God the Father. Massive subject. How do you deal with that in 25 minutes? He did a fabulous job. He brought us a scripture from Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. This speaks an awful lot to the choice theme that I said I saw coming out of these sermons, right? We're going to talk about Christ being the center. But we've been set free through Christ, but we've always got this choice going on in our head. One of the things that gets to us over time is we've got this world that goes on around us. And there's all sorts of options that can take up the time of our mind. And there's all sorts of temptations that come by. And unfortunately, one of the things that we do as human beings is somehow we choose to define ourselves by the options around us and by the temptations that float through our mind. One of the things that Matt made clear to us, we're not defined by our choices. When opportunities come around us and we maybe make a bad decision, or when temptations come to us and maybe we make a good decision, some of us think, you know what, I'm having terrible thoughts right now and that defines me. That's not what defines us. Christ set us free. This is weird, right? I'm pointing to the scripture that you're looking at back here. I don't know how to do that well. Christ set us free so that we can remain free. We don't need to get tied up again in that slavery to the things that are going on around us. The fact that I've got temptation in my mind, the fact that maybe I made a bad choice yesterday doesn't define who I am. God's desire is that we would keep our eyes on Him and let that define who we are. We are defined by our relationship to God. His desire, of course, is that we wouldn't be caught up in the idols that revolve around us all the time. And unfortunately, even trying to get to God, even trying to have the right relationship can become an idol in our lives. And so one of the things we talked about was making sure that we're not focusing on me and my relationship, we're just focusing on God, turning our eyes towards God, not striving, not trying hard to build a relationship with Him, but accepting who we are first, looking to God alone and focusing on Him. Because when we try to strive, when we try to make that relationship happen, what we wind up doing is sometimes trying to push away the sin, and what we wind up doing is looking at the sin and trying to be less of that, less of the world, and we're trying to back our way into a relationship with God. And what is that? That's all us. That's me trying to do that. That's, again, putting on that burden. The freedom comes. We don't need to worry about the options, the temptations, the sins of this world. We need to turn our eyes towards Jesus, make that our choice, and stop worrying about what's going on around us. As we focus on God alone, we'll naturally be drawn into His love, because that's what Matt taught us. God is this absolute body of love that just continues to draw us into this relationship with Him when we keep our eyes on Him. He's freedom. He's given us that choice to decide which direction we want to look. And He's absolutely faithful to us, and He will be faithful to the end as He patiently waits for us to look to Him instead of looking to the choices, to the sins, to the temptations, because that's what empowers the sin, is when your eyes and your thoughts are constantly on it instead of constantly on God. God is faithful. Matt shared Job with us, which was this foreshadowing of the greatest event of faithfulness in history, Christ in absolute faithfulness going to the cross on our behalf. And that revealed the expanse of the discussion around God. True freedom comes because He gave us absolute choice, and we get to decide where our mind and where our eye set will be. He did that because He's absolutely pure love. He didn't want you to have to worship Him, to have to look to Him. He wanted you to choose that. And through that, we get to know Him. The more we look to Him, the more we focus on Him alone, the more He just explodes within us and we come to understand Him better. And He will be faithful with us to the end. I'm a biker. I love to ride my motorcycle. So to put this in context, one of the things we learn very early when we're learning to ride a motorcycle is whatever you focus on, that's where you're going to go. If there's a pothole in the road, worse yet, you're in Regina and there's two potholes in the road, if you look at that pothole, you are going to run over it. I don't know how it works. Motorcycles go where you look. If you look at that pothole, you are going to hit the pothole. But it doesn't matter how small or how narrow the road is in between them. If that's where you look, that's exactly where your tires will track. This is the same as our relationship to God. If we look to the sin that seeks to deceive us, we will be deceived and we will be drawn into it. You can't get close to it and hope to not be drawn into it. Look to God, look to Jesus. Where you look is where you will go. Basic principle. One of the greatest events I've been to in a long time was this Wednesday here at Celebration. And thank you so much, Corey, for doing a great teaching. We had an Ash Wednesday service here. I don't know, how many people do we have? 40 people out, something like that, 50 people out. It was awesome. Because most of them were little kids and young, call them young teenagers. It was great. Lots of energy in the room. But we had this beautiful celebration that our life is not grounded in the sin that seeks to trap us. Our life is grounded in this God who loves us so much. He's given us a choice to walk away and to focus on Him. Man, at this pace, I will be here forever, but there's so much great truth in here. Okay, so after Matt was done, then Cam comes the next week with God the Son. How do you wrap up Jesus Christ in 20 minutes? Nicely done, Cam, but I know one of the things that we talked about as we were pulling this series together, we got a number of sermons under our belt. We had a few more to go. These are such big, deep subjects. We felt like we were just skimming the surface. I thought of this deep, vast ocean and us taking a little pebble and just going doop, 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 and six little splashes across the top of these subjects. But the teaching is so good. I think Cam hit two scriptures that I think captured the essence of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ in our lives perfectly. Matthew 16, 15 and 16. This gets to the essence of where our eyes are and the essence of the question that we have. I mentioned choice through this series. This is the choice that Jesus Christ posed to Peter. Who do you say that I am? And Cam asked us to stop and think for a little bit about, well, who is it that we say Jesus Christ is? And quite frankly, I don't care who you say He is to your neighbor. I don't care who you say He is to me. The choice is made deep in our soul. When we stop and think, who is Christ to me? Who do we say that He is? And Simon Peter answered, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. He answered absolutely correctly. He had been filled with the word from God directly to have this knowledge of who Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ is the center of all that is important to us. I had a couple of answers in my notes. I thought He was Savior, Redeemer. My favorite is Friend. The other was God. Cam had this big, long list of all the different attributes of who Christ is and who we could say He is. He's eternal. He's God. He's in you. He's infinite. He's supreme. He's human. He's tempted. He is life. But my favorite was He is the center. He is the center of all. All that our faith comes from and our future comes from is, who do you say that I am? And then God asked Peter one more critical question. Do you love me? And Peter had a choice to make. And that's where we get to. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? And do you love Him? If you take nothing else away from today, those are two questions that we need to desperately wrestle with. My hope, of course, is that every one of us can say, I know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the one that came to sacrifice His life so that I could have this ongoing relationship with this God that loves me, provides me with freedom, and is faithful to the end. And I want to be able to answer, yes, God, with my whole body, soul, mind, and spirit, I love You and I give You my life. That's my hope for everyone here. I love You, and that's why I hope that for you. I said He had two great scriptures for us. The other one that Cam brought out, I just think answers this who is Jesus, and my favorite answer that he had was the center. Colossians 3:11, Cam shared with us, in this new life, when we've said, God, I choose You, this new life. It doesn't matter who you are. In the text, it's are you Jew or Gentile, slave or free, circumcised or uncircumcised, civilized or uncivilized? It doesn't matter who you are. Christ is all that matters. That's what I got out of this whole series. This is the center of the circle that Christ, that the scripture points to. One of the things Cam said, I think it was Martin Luther you said, says that Christ is the center of a circle. And all of scripture points to him. C.S. Lewis, I think you said, that all of this scripture is either pointing to Christ being promised or pointing to Christ having been sent. Christ is all that matters, and the beauty is he lives in us. Amen. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. The beautiful thing is that his sacrifice was able to reconcile us to him. And as a result, and I have grabbed hold of this in my life and shared this in discipleship with others more than I've done anything else until this point, I believe. This was a beautiful scripture to read. If you've got your Bibles, open up Colossians 1:22 and get out a highlighter or a pen and mark your Bible. He's reconciled you to himself, and as a result, who wants to read that for me? Somebody read that. Oh, thank you, Lori. I had somebody else read that because I love having that read over me. That was a selfish moment for me. You. This isn't somebody else. This is you are holy and blameless. As you stand before God, there's one thing that he sees. This was a great takeaway. Cam, thank you so much. There's one thing that God sees. He sees you in front of him, holy and blameless, and what he sees is the potential that he has created within you to be like his son. That's what he sees. He doesn't see when we've focused on the wrong things or made the wrong decisions. We might be trying on our own strength to back into a relationship with him, but that's not what he sees. This is what he sees. He sees us holy and blameless in worship to him. He sees the potential that he's created in your life. He sees the gifts that the Holy Spirit has made real in your life. He sees the things that he wants to achieve in this world being accomplished by you. He sees you as holy and blameless in his sight. This is the God of the universe and Jesus Christ that went to the cross, and they look to you and they see you as holy and blameless. I can't get that off my mind. I am so freed by that thought. This is how my God sees me. This is how my God sees me. There are so many things that might seem good, that might seem great. I might be focused on the gifts that he's given me and trying to use those exceptionally well. I might be focused on the people that he's put around me and hoping to share the gospel with them. But I can't be distracted from this one truth. He wants me to look at him first. And he wants me to know that while my eyes are on him and I stand before him, I am holy and blameless in his sight. And why does he want me to focus on him so much? Because the next week when we talked about the Holy Spirit, we learned that it's so easy to get distracted by the world. Do you remember the discussion on the Holy Spirit? We get feeling guilty. We get feeling accused, and sometimes we even feel judged. That's not how God sees us. That's us taking on that slavery that Matt talked about under God. Don't put that on again. You're holy and blameless in God's sight, and that's what he wants you to know. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All of these other things are designed to trap you, to keep you fixated on sin and temptation, to keep you fixated on decisions that you've made that haven't brought you closer to Christ, and to make you think it's something that you've got to do. Peter had promised to follow Christ to his death. But that was not Christ's desire for our life. Not to sacrifice our lives into death, but into life. He wanted us holy and pleasing in his sight to be living full, exuberant lives so that everybody around us can see Christ through us, through our spiritual act of worship, living full lives, eyes focused on God. And how does he help us do that? He helps us keep our eyes on him and be transformed from this concept that the world has created by filling us with the Holy Spirit, by providing it to each and every one of us, so that our lives can be filled by this gift and that we may have this counselor present with us at all times that we can turn to. He can help us understand what sin is, to encourage us in the righteousness that Christ has saved for us, and to give us the strength to turn our back on sin, temptation, judgment, guilt, and accusation. And that same Spirit is the Spirit of truth that wells up within us to teach us the difference of right from wrong and to illuminate the Scriptures for us so that we can see them with God's eyes and understand them as they build into our lives. Not so that we can try hard to be like them, but so that we know what Christ's hope is for us, and so that as we look to him alone, we can start to see what he's beginning to reveal in our lives. And then we moved on and we talked about Satan. And the beauty is, I was having such a great time in worship today. They have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. Cam, did you pick the worship set or did somebody else do that? Because I'll tell you, he was so on the mark with that worship set. It just ran the review of this series to a T. Every one of those songs expounded one of the truths that we've been preaching, and this is one of them. For sure, there are demons and there is Satan. He was cast out of heaven with a third of all of the angels, but in our lives, he's been defeated by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And those people that live around us, he is going to be defeated in their lives, and they will break from the world and be able to see God by our testimony, so that the blood of the Lamb can begin to work in their lives as they see God reflected in us, as we've been talking about. We are the light in the world, not that we have our own light, but that we are reflectors, so that God can be seen in the world through our lives. Again, our spiritual act of worship is to live abundantly and fully, just to turn our backs on the sin, temptation, and even on Satan. Even on Satan. But in that discussion that we had on the demons and our discussion of our role as lights in the world, we knew that there was a risk. This is the Christ is all that matters, and we have a choice. There's a risk, and there's two sides to the battle in this world. We are not to be conformed to it. We have to make a decision of which side of that battle we are on. We have a role to live those lives that testify to Christ. We have a promise. You haven't received a spirit that makes you a fearful slave. That's run through all of this as well. We have the power and the strength to keep our eyes on Jesus. And we have a practice that we came away with saying, how do I do that regularly? And the answer is, in every single act and deed that we do, we ask ourselves that question. Well, who am I saying Jesus is? In what I'm doing right now, what is that thing that I'm doing saying my answer to this question is? Peter denied Jesus after he had said, "You're the Messiah." He then found himself in a situation with somebody that just didn't matter. A slave girl It didn't matter to him. It didn't matter to his testimony. It didn't matter to his relationship in Christ. But he had his eye on what does the world think. And somebody asked him this question, who do you say that Jesus is? And in that situation, he denied Christ. And he denied Christ. And he denied Christ. And that's when he heard the rooster crow. And that's when he was broken and he felt shame. And he left. He left that ministry. He went back to fishing and God had to go find him and draw him back. But that's the faithfulness of our God. He will do that for us. We need to be practicing all the time our answer to this question. And that's a central point here that came out. At all times, who are you saying? Jesus is. And then we had this great session around, so what are angels? This was a really neat one to get into and to study a little bit. I learned so much in here. Angels are spiritual beings that were created by God to worship Him. What a great job. My job is to worship God. That's awesome. But also to carry out His will. We learned another truth, which is all that matters is Jesus, right? Christ is here, the angels here. Christ is so far above the angels, they can barely understand it. And one of the things that we're at risk for, just like every other option and temptation and sin that faces us, is the potential that we make really neat things our idols. There's lots of talk these days of angels and what they can do in our lives. And we may even think that focusing on and looking for them and trying to follow them might be wise, but that's just creating another idol in our life. And so instead, what do? Come back to God, focus on Him, and don't worry about the angels. God confirms His message through them, through the Holy Spirit, through nature, and through many things. His message is central. Christ is all that matters. The message of the gospel is so special, though. Two things came out of that talk. The prophets of old who talked about Jesus Christ being the Messiah and coming for us, they would have loved to know what you know. They would have loved to know when He came and what it's like to actually have Him in our lives, as would the angels. We are in such a special place, people. A special place in all of history and in all of the text of Scripture. There are so many people who have been so focused on God but have never had the privilege that we have to say, I know Jesus Christ personally. I know that He came to earth. I know that He died for me. And I know that He has been my Savior. None of the prophets knew that. The angels don't know that. And from there, Cam led us to hell. No, I'm sorry, Cam. Sorry, not quite. Cam led us into this great discussion of heaven and hell. I was so excited by the work that he had done to pull this together. You can imagine how dark this could have been. And yet Cam did this beautiful job of making it clear to us that heaven is real. And the biggest, most difficult aspect of that is that it's a spot that is absolutely void of God. I can't imagine that. I don't want to have to imagine that. There are times when I feel lost in my own life. There's been times this weekend, even this morning, preparing to bring this message, that I felt removed from God. But certainly I knew God wasn't void. I knew He was here and He was calling me and wanting me in His presence. What a great joy to know that a God that sees me as holy and blameless wants me in His presence. He called hell living in full realization of who God is and the full realization that we've chosen to reject Him. Man, I hope never to be in that situation. The other quote that he used was, sin is us telling God to go away and leave me alone. And hell is God's answer, you may have your wish. Again, because He loves us so much, He is prepared to give us that choice. A choice. And then he got to talk about heaven. Oh, masterful job. One of the things I learned, and it's helped me, I learned all the way through this. I've always considered heaven to be a reward. I always thought that heaven was something that I wanted. I chose Christ because I wanted to go to heaven. And one of the things that Cam helped me understand was I had created another idol. Another idol in my life. We are not to want heaven, we are to want Christ. Another opportunity to learn a little bit more about turning my eyesight to Christ alone. Heaven is something that will come, well, is here within me, but it's a result of my relationship with Christ. He has to be my focus. And of course, he has this offer that he makes. Heaven is pulling back all of the things that God has made holy. We are holy and blameless in his sight. Pulling those things back to him, but it's a choice, and he makes that offer to us. And we get to choose whether or not to take that offer. It's almost hard to understand why he would do that, why he would leave it in our hands. But two key scriptures that Cam used for us last week was Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, and Isaiah 55, God's ways are so much higher than our ways. It is hard for us even to gather. What's the broader picture that he's trying to create? People will ask, but it's not fair that that person got sent to hell. Well, we know he's not sending. He's inviting. Not sending us anywhere. He's inviting us into a relationship. And by faith, that's a choice that we get to make. We get to accept the forgiveness that comes with that, knowing that he is absolute love and he is absolute faithfulness, and through that receive Christ as our salvation. One of the things about God that I've started to scratch the surface on is this aspect of him being love. I knew that, but I'm not sure I understood how to internalize that. I've made this choice. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. I've put my eyes on him. And lately, one of the things that he's teaching me is that there's this constant and continuous depth to that love that I get to learn. I get to learn. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And more I submit and ask him to teach me about it, the more and more he actually reveals of it. And the interesting thing for me, and this is completely off track, but one of the most interesting things to me is watching him be revealed in my life. I never understood before. I've tried to reach out in love, out of my own effort, trying to see people with God's eyes out of my effort. But through this foundation series, I've been able to see that it's not me that gets to do that. It's Christ in me that gets to come out as love, that gets to come out as seeing people worthy of being loved. I was in Saskatoon. Helena was at a conference, and I had a great privilege just to go along and be the spouse. And I worked out of the hotel room for a few days. And I'm going to use the term, don't get mad at me, don't send me emails. I had like an out-of-body experience. The maid came to clean up the room, and she's working around the room, and I absolutely loved her. I couldn't explain it. I asked her questions about her life, about her family. We got into details of things in her life I would never have got to if I was doing this on my own. But it was like I was watching myself be Jesus Christ. And all I could do was reach out in absolute passion for this lady to know, where are your kids? What are they up to? You have grandchildren? What is it that you love to do to share with your grandchildren? And I'm watching myself just be Jesus, and it was absolutely amazing. I learned all over again what it meant to just keep my eyes on him and let him do whatever he wants through me. I never shared the gospel with her. I don't know if I even planted a seed, but I had a lesson. It was so cool to get to be Jesus. It was so cool to get to be Jesus. When I told you this morning, I love you, it's not because I'm trying to. It's because Jesus just wants to get out here. Jesus wants to love all of you so much. Just realize he's all that matters. And then as we go out the doors, realize he's the only thing that matters outside of this church at all. I'm going to go pretty quick. The worship team can come back up. One of the neat things that happened, thank you for letting me go sideways on that story. One of the things that was really cool that happened during this series, we didn't talk about doing this intentionally, but one of the things that happened was to get deep enough to understand these subjects, we actually had to work on, but what is it I believe? That was hard work, but one of the things that we saw in each of the sermons, eventually, every one of the people that shared said, this is what we believe as a church. And so I teased those out of those various sermons, and I want to share with you three quick slides. Pay attention to this, because if you've got your paper and your journal out, and if you disagree with anything that's up here, write it down and come see me. Grab me afterwards. Let's have the conversation. These are some of the statements that we made. We believe God is love and faithfulness. We believe we have freedom of choice when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ. We believe that God has reconciled us to himself through Christ's crucifixion. We believe that all of Scripture points to that truth. We believe that the Holy Spirit has been poured out for all of us. We believe Satan is real, but he has been defeated, and our victory is in Jesus Christ. We believe we are holy and blameless in God's eyes. We believe that angels are God's messengers to effect his will on earth, but they are neither for us or against us. They are for God. We believe heaven and hell are real, and that God does not send us anywhere, but he invites us into relationship with him, and we get to make that choice. Guys, would you lead us in a closing worship, and I will come back in a second and give you benediction.
Let's stand together.